This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Our guest today on Keeping the Faith is Sam Smith from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Welcome, Sam.
Well, welcome. Happy to be here, Steve.
And you've been there for 5 years as Director of Community Engagement. What is that?
Well, you know what? That's a really good question. And I was told when I started that we would figure that out, and that there was about a 5-year learning curve.
So were you the first person to have that title?
There was actually someone in that title before.
Okay.
And I come to Krannert without the same level of arts background as many people do. I actually come to Krannert Center as a social worker. That's what I was doing when I started working there. So I sort of approached this engagement work from a different perspective. But I think this title and this idea around engagement is one of the easiest ways for people to understand it is to think about it in terms of outreach. But I actually think about it a little bit different. I think outreach is developing relationships, let's say, for example, with schools.
Sure.
And I think engagement is helping to define those relationships.
Okay.
So
develop them, to see what it leads to.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that there are performing arts centers around the country that begin to use that term engagement. They'll talk about community engagement or cultural engagement, and it sometimes encompasses. It's easy to understand as traditional outreach. Although we also have an outreach director at Krannert Center who's Crystal Womble, and so sometimes our work overlaps, and sometimes it overlaps a great deal, and sometimes it does not. I think the intent of the position was to provide a platform, in fact, to sort of define what that engagement might look like.
But it sounds as if Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, which for those of you who are listening farther away, is an amazing university performing arts center. It includes 5 or 6 different stages, a very large great hall that seats, what, 1,800 or something
about,
like that?
Actually, it's about 2,279.
Oh, really? Wow, even bigger than I thought. Mm-hmm. And a special stage for opera and dance and theater and one of those black box theaters you can do anything with, and an outside auditorium.
That's right. Yeah, it's a pretty spectacular facility.
It's an amazing facility, thanks to the Krannert family generosity from Indianapolis. But it's a wonderful facility, but I take it when you were hired as a social worker, was a person who has a background in social work, there was a realization that maybe not the whole community was appreciating Krannert or being able to enjoy it.
Well, I think that's true. I think that was a part of the context of my being hired. There were some specific things happening in the community around that time. I've heard a couple of different stories of why I was hired at Krannert Center. The one that I like is that I had met Mike Ross on one or two occasions.
He's the director.
Mike Ross is the director. And Mike's son, Miles, attended University High School, and I was a counselor at University High School. So I sort of met Mike in that context. And Krannert Center was working on a grant to promote appreciation listening to jazz music. And I sat in as a community member on some of those brainstorming and planning sessions. And because my work was focused on youth and children, I sort of brought that perspective. How do we get young people and how do we get their families engaged? I like to think that was sort of the opening to my being invited to become a part of the Krannert staff.
When my wife and I moved back to Champaign-Urbana in 1981 from being in North Carolina for a dozen years and before mm-hmm. that being in Chicago for, I was there 8 years. Mm-hmm. When we moved back to Champaign-Urbana here at this university, we immediately signed up to take advantage of Krannert and mm-hmm. got a couple sets of tickets for a mm-hmm. series of mm-hmm. musical and theater and dance programs. But we noticed that the people there were a lot of, who were attending the service, mm-hmm. Who were attending the, mm-hmm. the concerts and performances, seemed to be an average age older than we were at the mm-hmm. time. I think I was 40 or something.
Sure.
Now I'm much older.
Yeah.
And now I'm sort of the average age, it seems.
Yeah.
Although recently, some of the things you obviously and Mike Ross and others have done have really brought in a lot of more younger people and acts and performances and music that appeals to them.
Sure. I think I've heard people at Krannert Center talk about the former audiences of the blue-haired ladies,
uh-huh,
right?
Sure.
And I think in spite of what it's been like in the 5 years that I have been there, I think it continues to have that reputation. And so I think people who come are actually often surprised. I mean, for example, Seth Fine, who is just sort of a brilliant young local organizer of musical events, has been organizing an independent music festival at Krannert, or in cooperation with Krannert, or in collaboration with Krannert. I mean, it's Seth's work, but Krannert has certainly been very supportive of it. And that is very much a young, hip, progressive audience. And there's about 3 days of music sometime in September, I think.
And adding
it's called the Pygmalion Music Festival.
Okay.
And you can Google it and look it up. You were going to mention the Guitar Festival.
I mean,
that has international reach, and it brings in just a real wide variety of audiences. But I think what you're sort of pointing to is an area that those of us who work in performing arts centers have been aware of and paying attention to for a long time, which is the population in the country, in our community, is diversifying in terms of ethnicity, in terms of culture, and performing arts centers that may have been may have premiered one particular genre of performance are finding themselves with, I think, the way Mike would describe it, with, like, you know, the unique opportunity to program a wider swath. So it's challenging. We still have challenges in that regard. But I think, you know, we have challenges in that regard, and I think people would be surprised at the number of conversations and the planning and the programming that happens to address those challenges. In one of our team meetings with the senior associate directors, Rebecca McBride, we had a running joke about programming for having an emergency cultural programming team. And so we were joking about, you know, programming for particular groups or around particular issues. And, you know, it's a moving target.
Sure.
I think many people are surprised at just the breadth of the programming at Krannert. And I think rather than looking at it in looking at it in a 1 year frame, it makes sense to look at it like over 3 to 5 year. And when you look at the programming over 3 to 5 years, you get to see just the most excellent presentations of music, of dance, of theater, sort of cutting-edge work from around the world and from all different kinds of performance groups. So,
on Keeping the Faith this afternoon, we're talking with Sam Smith, who is the Community Engagement Director at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts here at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. This is a live program today on the 23rd of December, 2012. I tried to say that a time or two during the show because, of course, these shows are archived and heard later at people's convenience via their computers or other electronic devices, smartphones, and so forth. So if you're listening that way, you'll know when this program was recorded here at WILL AM 580. But for those listeners who are paying attention live, and we know there are many of them, you may call in and join this discussion program we have every Sunday evening from 5 to 6 Central Time. The numbers are 217-333-9455. So if you're in the 217 area code, do punch in 333-WILL. That's 333-9455. If it's long distance, there's a toll-free number you may use, 1-800-222-9455. And that includes people who are listening on the Internet. We know this program is literally heard around the world, but if you're in the continental U.S., you may use that number, 1-800-222-9455, to join this conversation, to talk with our guest, Sam Smith. Sam, you mentioned the diversity within our American culture nowadays, and how Cranard is very good at getting performers and hence audiences from a lot of different cultural subgroups. Talk a little bit about Stage 5.
Yeah, Stage 5 is a, I think Stage 5 is a really neat, interesting space at Cranard Center. It is a small stage that is in the lobby.
A huge lobby.
In a huge lobby. Some of us think it's the largest low-ceiling lobby in a performing arts center anywhere.
Yeah.
But the programming at Stage 5 relies on a lot of local talent. It's programmed to be to sort of meet this marketplace mission of the Cranard Center. So when I think of Stage 5, there's so many different perspectives on what happens at the center. It's such a complex ecology. So when I think of Stage 5, I think of it from the perspective of community engagement, and the space is programmed actually to facilitate that. So if you're walking through the lobby and there's a performance that's happening at Stage 5, someone may stop and say, "Oh, there's a quartet, you know, or there's a hot little jazz number that's playing, or there's an American Songbook performance with the piano." And actually, what I look at and what I know to be part of the foundation of the programming is that those people who are sitting around at those tables in Stage 5 have been thrown together.
Somebody might have shown up to see a ballet, someone else to
that's
see
exactly
a
right.
jazz group, someone else to hear it.
That's
see
exactly
a
right.
Piece.
Right. Because the
lobby is for all those theaters.
Right, yeah. That's exactly right. And the way that the space was constructed and designed was so that this center lobby is a meeting place for people who attend these theaters to see very specialized performances. And so the Stage 5 is a manifestation of this commitment to sort of colliding creativity, you know. So again, getting back to this question of who are the audiences at Cranard Center, and our deep commitment to speak to the just sort of wide variety of communities and community needs and community issues at Cranard Center, the original design sort of spoke to that idea. So it's sort of built into who we are.
I want to get back and talk some more about this notion of Cranard Center as a marketplace. But we have a caller. Let's go to line number one. You're live on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Charles Drake, and I'm calling in regard to how Sam is looking for new ideas, not just for Cranard, but for Champaign. And he approached me one day, or one evening. We was out at a concert, and we were talking about a rodeo, black rodeo, that could come to the 4th of July parade. And I was so interested in that, and I'm still interested in that, to see black rodeos, because that would add a lot of culture from the West that black soldiers participated in. And the question I wanted to ask was, are you still looking for things like that?
Sam?
Hey, Charles, thanks for calling. The short answer to that is yes. I'm also looking for a sixth grade science teacher at Edison Middle School to help us with what we call a STEAM project, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. But I'll tell you where the I'll give you an example of sort of the breadth of the engagement work at Cranard Center and where the idea for the Black Rodeo came from. So one of my opportunities while working at Cranard Center was to participate in the North First Street Association meetings and the development of the farmers market on North First Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there in particular to think about bringing the arts to that initiative. Well, as the farmers market got started, one of the things that we noticed is that there were no black farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a farmers market on North First Street, which was sort of the heart of the historic black community in Champaign.
Sure.
So I ended up in Pembroke, Illinois, where there is a black farming community and where they do black rodeo, because I was looking to make that connection for Cranard Center. And it's interesting that, I think in some ways we experience a cultural desert in our North End. If you look for black dance schools and black music schools, you can find people like Nathaniel Banks and Robert Lewis, who've been in the community for years and teaching and who have programs. But, you know, freestanding arts and cultural institutions in our community, I think the lack of them is meaningful. And I think as a staff person at Cranard Center, I get to work on that sometime. And so so the reason I was in Pembroke was to meet black farmers, to make a connection with this farmers market initiative that was happening on North First Street. There is a pastor in Chicago who's Reverend Sampson is his name, who has a project called the Carver Project, where he archives seeds from black farmers, seeds that have not been genetically engineered. And he says there's no culture without agriculture, right?
Right.
And so when we think of the arts and we think of the arts in the culture, we think of music and we think of dance and we think of theater. But, of course, culture is much broader than that. And I remember taking my son to the Black Rodeo and him calling one of his friends on a cell phone, and he's like, "There's a black cowboy riding a horse," you know,
right.
and my son was an ag major, but he was just so taken by that and that connection with black culture, that history of agriculture and the values that come out of that, I think is consistent with our mission at Cranard Center to enrich the arts and cultural life, you know, of our community. So the short answer to that is yes. And in fact, what I'm looking for, what I would love to do is a, and I don't know if we talked about this, but a Buffalo Soldier.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did talk about that. Mm-hmm. So if there are some black horseback riders out there that have some interest in Buffalo Soldiers that might like to work on that for a July 4th or Juneteenth, presentation as a part of the parade. I would love to be a part of a project like that. And I think what we do when we, you know, when we study that and when we think about that, you know, we think about the best of who we are and the best of what different cultural groups and different historical periods bring. So, yeah, Charles, I would love to work on that and organize some trips down to the Black Rodeo.
Well, I know a young lady, you know, who's a math teacher, and she participated in the rodeo in Pembroke along with her mother, being one of the riders. And so, you know, she might be a helpful person,
sure,
in finding, you know, some of the men to ride horses. Because I've talked to a lot of different people about this issue, and I haven't run across anyone, you know, who's a natural rider,
sure,
you know, of horses around here. So. To get someone from another area might be the key, but you never know.
Right, that's right.
Things might come out of woodwork, you know,
right,
through this program and others, of someone who is a natural rider, you know, here in Champaign-Urbana.
Right.
And Danville and Decatur, too.
Right.
So, I want to thank you very much for the call and raising
you.
That very important issue. Appreciate
it. You'll be listening.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We are at about 20 minutes into our Keeping the Faith program this afternoon. Let me take just a moment to let listeners know what's coming up ahead on Keeping the Faith. We're talking today, of course, with Sam Smith. Very happy to have him as the Community Engagement Director from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts here at the University of Illinois. Next week, I'll be otherwise occupied and we'll miss being able to be in the studio, but we have a wonderful archive program for December 30, 2012, from last May. We talked by phone with Professor Gary Wills from Northwestern University. He's an emeritus professor there, about his most recent book called Font of Life, about Ambrose, Augustine, and the Mystery of Baptism. As a historian, Gary Wills, of course, is known around the world for his research and writing skills. That was a very interesting interview, and I'm very pleased that we can replay that on December 30. And then coming up January 6th, we have another very special program, a live program, we hope. We're going to be trying to call Palestine live and talk to someone who's on the West Bank in a town called Bet Jala, right next to Bethlehem. On January 6th, it happens, is the Christmas Eve celebration for the Orthodox Christian Church, which is represented in Palestine as well as in many other countries, including the U.S. We'll be talking with a Lutheran pastor, John Sutherland, who was a Lutheran campus pastor here at the University of Illinois for 15 years or so. In his retirement, he's volunteered at a Lutheran congregation in Bet Jala on the West Bank. Now, of course, with the violence that's been in Palestine, everything is a little bit iffy, but we're going to do our best to talk to John at 1 in the morning, their time, for a live conversation on what the situation is in the West Bank, not only for Christians, but for Muslims and Jews. That'll be January 6th here on Keeping the Faith. Let me make one quick announcement of something local. For many years, The Chorale, directed by Julie Byler, has put on a performance on New Year's Eve at the Virginia Theater. This year, the performance, because the Virginia is being renovated, cannot be at that location or on that date. But the day before, on Sunday, December 30th at 7 o'clock at the Vineyard Church Auditorium on North Lincoln Avenue, Urbana, The Chorale would be putting on a special a day early New Year's Eve celebration called Winter Around the World. Various musicians will participate. The wonderful pianist accompanist for the chorale is Dr. Michael Hammer, who has been a guest on this program. The Urbana Pops Orchestra Strings will be accompanying some of the performances by the chorale. Special soprano guest singer Molly Netzer will be there, who grew up in this community. Also, another winner of the Young Artists Scholarship, Derek Mananfiore, will be playing the piano. Again, that's Sunday, December 30 at 7 p.m. at the Vineyard Church Auditorium, 1500 North Lincoln Avenue, Urbana. And that's in 2012. Tickets are available at the Bresnan Center for the Park District in Champaign or online at thevirginia.org. Thevirginia.org. You can get tickets in advance or tickets at the door. $22 for adults. Well, let's get back to our guest, Sam Smith. Sam, we were talking earlier about the whole notion of Cranert having this mission to become a marketplace, not only for culture, but ideas. Mm-hmm. Tell us how that's developing.
Well, I think it's mission statements are often written very broadly, and Cranert has both a educational mission, laboratory mission, this marketplace mission, and an engagement mission via the arts. So promoting excellence in the arts, both contemporary arts and traditional arts, it develops projects with artists and with other people that helps it to reach that mission. Certainly the educational mission, educating, training students is one of its primary missions, and we do that in cooperation with the resident academic departments of dance, music, and theater.
Sure.
At the University of Illinois. Yeah. But in addition to that, there is a very strong commitment to emerging artists, working with emerging artists, and providing opportunities for artists to workshop their material and to spend time at the Cranert Center developing material and exploring ideas. It's been amazing over the few years that I've been at the Cranert Center to meet some of the world's best artists in their field who come to the center and spend a week or 2 weeks in residence, just how happy they are, how well taken care of they are. And that commitment advances the quality of the arts, the impact of the arts on a national and international scale.
And some of those artists, when they're here, are willing to go into the public schools, to the libraries, to the Y's, and
right.
Perform and talk and give workshops.
And in fact, that's a huge part of the work that we do. We have a youth series that presents four to six performances a year, and those are aimed at K-12 students. And typically, as a part of those performances, there are engagement activities that can involve working in schools with students, working with educators, working their master classes for college level students or master's level students in some particular area. Just the range, the quality, the quantity of engagement activities. I think many people are surprised to find in fact, the performance that you might see on the fifth floor is actually the end of a very long process, and there are four floors below that fifth floor where the theaters are located, and on each of those floors there are designers and producers and stage managers and
Costumers,
and there's all kinds of interactions. But in addition to, I'll give you another example there, and I'm talking a lot about my own work because I know my work best, but I do a very small part of the engagement work that happens at the Cranert Center. But I'm engaged in a project in an engineering class. This is a program that's called the LINC program, L-I-N-C, Learning in Community. And this LINC program, it's Engineering 315, brings groups of students together to focus on real-world problems. Engineering students from business, students from fine and applied arts, and As a part of my role in the Cranert Center, I'm teaching a section of the course that's exploring the potential of the arts to have an impact on community development, and in particular in poor urban communities. So that idea of bringing different kinds of thinkers and disciplines together that may revolve around the arts or be infused with the arts or the arts are a part of is something that happens in a number of different ways. There are a number of different projects that have the arts involved with computer science or engineering or scientists of different sorts. And the director promotes the idea of creativity as a fundamental human capacity and resource. And so the arts don't have a corner on that, but the arts can help inform the practice of creativity or the discovery of one's creativity. So we've had a number of projects. We've had some co-taught courses with faculty from other disciplines. So you'd have a dance faculty and a physicist teaching a class together, and you get really interesting ways of thinking about real world issues from that. So that's just some examples of how broad the engagement mission is, and the marketplace mission as reflected in something like Stage 5, where you come in, there's no telling what's going on in that space.
On Keeping the Faith this afternoon, we're talking with Sam Smith, who's engaged Community Engagement Director at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. If you'd like to join this conversation, we've already had one call today, but happy to have more. The number in area code 217-333-9455. If it's long distance, 1-800-222-9455 is a toll-free call. And again, this is a live program today on the 23rd of December, 2012. I'm Steve Shoemaker, your usual host for this program. I'm happy to ask questions, but also I'm very happy to have people call in and talk to our technical director, Kyle Croa. She'll answer the phone. She'll put you in line to talk with Sam Smith, our guest today. Sam, you were talking earlier about things as happening on Stage 5. Describe Stage 5 and the things that are also available around it, like a wonderful place for desserts and mm-hmm. sandwiches, even dinners, a place to buy interesting things you can't find mm-hmm. much anywhere else in this vicinity, a bar.
Mm-hmm. So Stage 5 is a small stage that's located in the lobby of the Krannert Center. Also in the lobby of the Krannert Center is the Intermezzo Cafe, and it is like many places in our community, prides itself on being green and
very environmentally conscious.
Environmentally conscious and friendly, organic and fresh foods. Quite popular during lunch. And then there's the Promenade Gift Shop that's run by our Dale Turner, who's been with Krannert Center for a very long time. And you can find some very interesting, one-of-a-kind kind of buys at the Promenade.
From all over the world.
Yeah. And I had to set a limit on myself in buying pretty scarves from the Promenade and uh-huh. had to remind myself that I only have one neck. You can only wear one scarf at a time.
But you have three children.
And Dale reminded me that there are 7 days in the week. So,
yeah, right.
The lobby is actually quite a interesting place. Very often, free concerts in the lobby of all sorts of music, classical, jazz, R&B. Sometimes there are local performers at Stage 5.
I most recently heard an Afro-Cuban group.
Okay, yeah. A little small group.
Yeah,
a trio, but
they were just
great.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Those were mostly local guys that are in various other bands that have played at Krannert Center and done many kinds of projects and programs at Cranert Center.
There are wine tastings where different
absolutely. Thursday vineyards. Evenings from 5 to 7 p.m. There's a weekly wine tasting. And every other Thursday, maybe the second and fourth Thursday, there is live music. And so there's a Tammy Kikta, who's the Assistant Director of Artistic Services, who helps Mike Ross with the programming, helps to line up a really eclectic and interesting range of musical performers. You can hear solo vocal jazz artists, Latin jazz. It's actually a really nice range and nice collection. But again, what I think is most interesting about Stage 5 is it's a very low entry space. So it's a space over the past couple of years, we've gotten more and more students that come to the space. More and more people are beginning to take advantage of the space as a meeting space.
And it's fascinating that although you sell alcohol and soft drinks and so forth at the little bar there and Stage 5 and you have food at what's it called?
The Intermezzo.
Yeah. But you could come and not spend a penny.
That's exactly right.
You could come
right.
and just sit there and hear
and
this
just
free
sit,
music, talk to,
music. To
people.
Exactly.
It's quite a day. We have another caller waiting. Let's go to, again, on local line number one. You're on the air with Sam Smith. Go ahead.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Dawn Blackman.
Hey, Dawn. How are you?
I'm good, Sam. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Good to talk to you.
Good. Well, I was wondering, you know, during this launch of UC2B and the whole e-Black communications events, there were a lot of families who came forward to record family histories, mm-hmm. family stories, and a lot of information about the African-American community mm-hmm. in Champaign. And I'm
right.
wondering if there's any interest or has any interest been expressed in pulling that information together and giving some type of a storytelling presentation at Cranert detailing the history of African Americans in this city.
Well, you know, that's a really good question, and it's also a really good idea for a project. Early on in I know Noah Lenstra, and yeah, and early on in his work, I spent a little bit more time with him and was a little bit more engaged in that work. I think there's a lot of interest in developing something like that locally. I think there's there are folks in Afro-American studies and journalism. We've talked about doing projects like that. I have a project now that would fit very well with. And so if there are people that might be interested in working on something like that, I'd like to work with that on as a part of something else that I'm working with. You know, and there may be several different opportunities in the course of the year to develop something like that. Now, what I'd love to see, Dawn, is some kind of a summer writing workshop that might take those stories, those local stories, and work with some young people or some writers and develop those into something that could be, you know, presented the following year. And Noah's work, where he's hired high school students in the summer to work on projects, could be a place where that could happen. But I think there are a number of folks who would like to see something like that, and I'd be happy to sort of help broker something around that. Another thing about the UC2B work, I've not been involved in the UC2B work very much at all, but we work on this off of this idea at Cranert Center that the presence and the availability of technology is part of what defines the Champaign-Urbana area as a micro-urban community. So a micro-urban community is a community that has some cultural and ethnic diversity, has some strong educational resources, strong technological background, and a vibrant art scene. And that when you have a community that has those kinds of things, the possibilities that are available in that community is different than communities of similar size, maybe of similar sort of economic resources, but without that constellation. So the support of the technology, the idea that UC2Be is an important project, is something that's very consistent with our work.
Don, if you'll hold on a moment, just stay on the phone. I need to make a short announcement because we are at 40 minutes into our program here on WILL. Okay. 580 AM and also heard simultaneously at 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. And, of course, there are listeners who are downloading podcasts of this and other locally produced programs very regularly. We have many downloads a month, and so you may be listening at will.illinois.edu/AM to hear archives of this program. This interview with Sam and will be archived in about a week or so, maybe even sooner. But you may go to will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith and just leave the G off of keeping, and you'll be able to hear this or other programs at your convenience. We're back to you, Don. Again, I'm Steve Shoemaker, hosting this program today with Sam Smith in the studio from Krannert. And you were asking about this particular history program for African-American families in Champaign-Urbana and whether Krannert might be involved in that. Can I follow up with that, Sam?
Sure, absolutely.
How do locally initiated programs get to Krannert people who make decisions? Is that through you, through your office?
It's actually, there are a number of different ways that that happens. And mostly, I think it's opening and initiating the conversation.
So there are several people.
That can happen with me. That can happen with people that are in marketing. Yeah. That can happen with the director's office is actually quite open. You can imagine that they get thousands of requests. But I can also help with in terms of sort of brokering the relationships that might help something like that happen. So, Dawn, I know specifically there's a young woman who she has an office at Krannert Center and she operates a program called Inner Voices, Social Action Theater. Her name is Latrell Bright. And she and I have been talking about collecting stories as a part of creating some performances. So I think Latrell teaches a couple of classes in this Inner Voices class, a couple of acting classes and stage design classes. They write scripts during the semester and then they perform those scripts. And we've been specifically talking about the idea of collecting stories in communities and then performing those. So I know she would be interested in particular in what you're talking about. I think the hard thing with Krannert Center is finding ways to bring ideas to the table. And I am a point person in that. And so if there are people...
How many people contact you who are listening who might want to do that?
I can be contacted via email at smsmith@illinois.edu.
Let me repeat that. That's S-M as in Mary, Smith, S-M-I-T-H, 3, the numeral 3, at illinois.edu.
Or by phone at 217-244-0925.
And don't call on Christmas. Okay. Don, did you have anything else you wanted to follow up with?
Thank you. I was just wondering what, you know, if there was some kind of historical gathering that could be performed that would talk more about our city and all of our different aspects. I'd like to, I mean, I could see something from each segment of the community.
Absolutely.
One big event so that people who grew up in Champaign that was segregated knew what was going on across town when what was going on. Something that was annotated. They would pull us all together and show how each segment built this community.
Right, absolutely. We actually did a little project, and I can't think of the name of it, with Sharon Irish, who was in, at the time she was at GISLIS, and Ryan Griffiths, who was at GISLIS, and Angela Rivers. We did a project called Animating Communities. And that project was, we're looking at this mural that used to be on the corner of Park and Fifth, and revisiting the history. Maybe it was called Revisiting Murals, but we were revisiting the history of that mural. And we spent some time at places like Douglas Library, interviewing some seniors from the community. Ken Salo was involved in helping to do some mapping of the local black community, like remembering where the old jazz clubs were and that sort of thing. And so there were four or five events connected with excavating, in particular, the African-American history around that mural. There was also a little project. There was a photographer a number of years ago named Raymond Beal, who shot some photos of black folks in Champaign-Urbana. And there was a project through an art history class where students were revisiting that photography. I don't think besides a couple of meetings with some of the seniors in the community, there was an exhibit that was planned, but that the exhibit of that never did happen. But Ken Salo, who's also in the College of Fine and Applied Arts, and Kranich Center is a unit of the College of Fine and Applied Arts, is going to be teaching a class this spring. And he and Ron Bridgewater have, on a number of occasions, done this sort of walking tour of the African-American community.
Ron Bridgewater, a great jazzman.
Great jazz saxophone player. And something I just remembered, that early on, the project that Noah runs, the name escapes me right now, but we talked about doing a project that Noah called it Sheltering Families. And we wanted to revisit those black families that had taken in university students during the times when the campus was segregated. And the Rivers family was one of those families, the Hines family. And there are a number of families that still survive that black students were able to attend the university because they were able to live in a local community. And we talked about sort of trying to collect that history and maybe putting some art pieces or some plaques around the community, maybe in front of the homes, to sort of
celebrate
that and chronicle that history. There's also a fabulous little house on Church Street that I've been interested in a number of years that was owned by a woman who took students in. And the house is in bad shape. It's on the north end. And if I were King Don, I would get that house and refurbish it. And then we would have a spot in the community where the kind of project that you're talking about could happen out of that place with a strong connection to the College of Fine and Applied Arts and the Kranich Center.
Any other questions, Don?
Thank you, Mo.
Thank you very much for calling. Sure appreciate it. Let me give the phone numbers again. We're down to our last 5 or 6 minutes, but if you have a short question, do give us a call, 333-9455. If it's a local call in the Champaign-Urbana 217 area code, if it's long distance, 1-800-222-9455 to talk with our guest, Sam Smith. How long have you been in the Champaign-Urbana community?
I came to the Champaign-Urbana community August 24th, 1983. I remember the very night. I didn't have a place to stay. I had a beat-up old brown Chevette that I drove here.
From where?
I was living in Ohio.
Okay.
And I moved from Ohio, from Oberlin, Ohio, here to go to grad school in psychology.
What were you doing at Oberlin?
I was working on a psychiatric ward. I'd been working on a psychiatric ward since I'd graduated from Oberlin with a background in psychology. So I'd been there for a couple of years.
Did you go directly to Oberlin from where you grew up in Dillon, South Carolina?
No, no. Actually, I grew up in New York. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, you were born?
But I was born in Dillon.
Okay. Yeah,
in my Aunt Mary's kitchen, I'm told.
And your family went to New York?
My family was part of that great black migration. Up the seaboard, up the coast. The seaboard coastline was the train. Uh-huh. And I moved to New York when I was 3 years old. And so
where did you go to high school in New York?
I went to a school called St. Anne's Episcopal School in Brooklyn Heights. That's where Patty's only seen the sights a girl can see from Brooklyn Heights. So we're at Patty's. Yeah. So I went
and
to
you
St.
said you didn't have a background in the arts.
Right,
you
not
are
at all,
singing
right,
on
exactly.
the radio.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah. So I'm a Brooklyn boy. I grew up in Bed-Stuy, Flatbush, Brownsville. Went to school in Brooklyn Heights. That's a story in and of itself.
And tell us how you got from there to Oberlin.
So that's a long story, Steve, but that's a really long story. It's a really funny story. Sometime when we have time, I'll tell you. But early in my life, I had a sixth grade teacher who came to work in one of the poorest neighborhoods in Brooklyn and Brownsville, East New York. And Jim Madison is his name. And Jim Madison arranged for me and a cohort of inner city poor black and brown kids to go to private schools around New York City. Oh. And I ended up in St. Anne's, and in almost probably about 20% of my graduating class, which was very small, went to Oberlin the year that I did. So it was that kind of place.
Yeah.
You know, we had, and Oberlin was very much like where I went to high school. So everybody went to college. Huh. And Oberlin was like one of the two places that I got in. So
wow.
I didn't get in many places.
Tell me more about that teacher. How did he do it?
Well, that's interesting because I refer to Jim Madison as my Jonathan Kozel. Jonathan Kozel was the writer of a book called Death at an Early Age. Yeah. And was fired from the Boston Public Schools for teaching Langston Hughes. But Jonathan has been a strong advocate for education, particularly in poor communities of color. And so somewhere around 1967, 1968, Jim Madison decided to just go and knock on the doors of these private schools around the city and say, you all should take these smart black kids. And some of them said, yeah, you're right. And they did. So he's actually still in Brooklyn. We're still in touch.
Wow.
After 42 years.
Oh.
42 years. We're still friends. He's still working with inner city Brownsville, Brooklyn, largely minority black and brown kids. So
the difference a teacher can make.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing. The difference that one teacher can make.
When you remember those days and remember the difference he made in your life, does that give you motivation?
Well, you know, I don't know that I am that conscious of it, but
you became a social worker.
Yeah, I think I came from a community where the idea of your work serving your community it was just a natural thing. Everybody was expected, you know, to play an important part, and also I think part of the education in Oberlin, you know, Oberlin was the first. One of the first co-ed colleges in the country. It was the first college to grant a bachelor's degree to a black woman.
Wow.
It was the site of the Underground Railroad.
Yes.
It had a very long, radical, progressive tradition. And there was never a question that whatever you did was infused with a commitment to justice. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what your field was. You didn't need to be a social worker. It is interesting that I eventually became a social worker or eventually got a degree in social work.
And that was here at the University of Illinois?
That was here at the University of Illinois. That's exactly right.
So the U of I was the first public school you went to?
Since sixth grade. That's exactly right. Yeah, since the sixth grade.
Private high school, Oberlin, and then U of I grad school.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
What was it like being in a huge state school with a very small percentage of people of color?
It remains an interesting difference, I think. I've often sort of thought about the advantages of a private school education versus a public school education, and I believe a strong supporter of public schools. A lot of the work that I do is in local public schools. We're doing work now with the art teachers in both the Champaign and Urbana public schools, and I think that's part of my commitment. What I learned, I think, from private school is that every child isn't – well, the law says that every child is entitled to a free and appropriate public education, and I think every kid should have their own school, just like every man his own priest or something to that effect, right? That that education is ideally more individualized. So,
well, we are out of time. Let me thank our guest today, Sam Smith, who is the Community Engagement Director at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. He earlier shared his contact information for folks who'd like to talk more with him. His email is smsmith3@illinois.edu. His phone is 217-244-0925. Coming up on Keeping the Faith next week is an archive program recorded last May, broadcast last May with Northwestern University professor Gary Wills talking about his newest book, Font of Life, about the ancient Christian saints Ambrose Augustine, the mystery of baptism. On January 6th, our guest will be John Sutherland by phone from the West Bank in Palestine, which is on January 6th, is the Orthodox Christmas Eve. He'll be talking with us right next door to Bethlehem. To repeat an announcement I made for a local event coming up on Sunday, December 30th, 2012, 7 p.m., The Chorale. Winter Around the World, music from around the world, accompanied by the Urbana Pops Orchestra, directed by Julie Byler, accompanied on the piano by Michael Hammer. Guest soloists, should be a wonderful evening. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith. I'm Steve Shoemaker.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
I'm Bob Colquhoun, station manager at Illinois Public Media. 2012 has been an outstanding year for WILL. We have set an ambitious goal of $1 million in total funding by December 31st, 2012. Thank you for your support in helping to make 2013 a great year for your local public radio station.
Hi, I'm Jim Fleming, host of To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI. Looking for something to talk about at your next party or around the water cooler on Monday morning? Check in on To the Best of Our Knowledge each week. Science and religion, rethinking animal intelligence, maybe how memory works. Fascinating discussion on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on AM 580.
Thank you.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3, Urbana.